It's time for Youth Sports Now, the only radio show in Rochester dedicated to the excitement, the passion, the development, and well-being of young athletes. From peewee to college athletics, Youth Sports Now brings you expert advice and helps prep young athletes for the game and beyond. Youth Sports Now is sponsored by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance. And presented by McQuaid Jesuit, the area's only all-boys Catholic college prep school for grades 6 through 12. By Extreme Sight Performance Clinic, gain the competitive edge with vision performance. And by TJT Sports Photography, taking the winning shot every time. Here's the host of Youth Sports Now, the lifelong Little Leaguer, Greg Camp.
And thank you, Bob Savage, for that wonderful open. This is the newest, the best edition of Youth Sports Now. I am Greg Camp, your host for tonight and hopefully every night on Youth Sports Now. And a couple of things real quick to get out to you, some great information that you can always check out our website at youthsportsnowradio.com. And please don't forget to follow us on Twitter at youthsportsnow1. That's the number one. That's for Twitter. And then, of course, at Facebook. Lots of good information, lots of information for the podcasts that are out there of all the shows. And, of course, the video blogs with Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy. He's always giving us great information, and of course, he'll be along with us a little bit later on in the show. So make sure you check out those sites and always know what's happening in the world of youth sports here in the Rochester and greater area and region. And speaking of the greater region, we've got a wonderful couple of guests tonight. I think it's pretty interesting stuff. And, you know, one of the things that we always try and do here at Youth Sports Now is to provide you, the listener, with information that can be helpful to you as a parent and also as a coach. But we also want to look beyond what we call the regular sports, which, you know, are the football, the baseball, the hockey, tennis and golf. And we found something that I think is going to be really, really interesting to everybody. And I have to say it's blown my mind completely. And I'm just going to give it a quick intro and then I'm going to let these people speak for themselves because it's a great story. Imagine you're 14 years old and you get on a plane and you go to Korea. And while you're there, you go through a training regimen where you have breakfast and a training session, lunch and a training session, dinner and a training session. Then you go to sleep. And then there's more sessions in the morning. And oh, by the way, you're up so high in the mountains that the oxygen levels are different. It's incredibly hot, and of course, there's no air conditioning, and there's hundreds of stairs, probably more than 100, like 1,000, like 2,700 stairs a day, and you've got to go up and down those from where you sleep and eat and train, and you are there to train on the wonderful sport of taekwondo. It is one of the most systematic and scientific sports of martial arts. Some would call it martial arts. Some call it just a sport. We look at it as both. But it teaches things that are far more important than just, you know, skills and biomechanical skills. But it teaches about unity and about the mind, the body, and the soul. And we have tonight on Youth Sports Now a mom who, she's the one who let her son go on that long trip to Korea. And then shortly thereafter, we're going to speak with her son about his trip. So I want to give a big Youth Sports Now welcome to Marcy Nadler. Marcy, you are calling, or we're talking to you from Ontario, Canada, and we want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, you know, Mom, first of all, you let your son go to Korea. How did you possibly get over the obstacle of letting him go?
You know, it's funny because nobody would accuse me of being a very kind of free, easygoing parent. I could be very protective, too. But this is the type of thing where when he first heard about the trip, the first thing he said was, I know this is going to be incredibly hard, but it's going to be an incredible experience. And I know for him, this is a kid who trains over 20 hours a week, who puts so much dedication into it that I feel like I have to support him. If he's going to put as much work into it as he does, then as a parent, I need to be supportive. So I had to kind of put my fears aside, at least until he left. Then I could worry as much as I wanted to. But to him, I needed to support him as best as I could. So I that's what I had to do.
Marcy, your son, Dylan, who we're going to be speaking to in the second segment, he worked with a coach from Canada who is, you know, a national team coach. And Dylan was there with only about 6 other kids in total from Ontario and then 25 in total from Canada. So, you know, they're there to train. And from all the research we've done here at Youth Sports Now about Taekwondo, it is a sport where it's different from many other sports, but also it's different in terms of Oriental martial arts. There's the physical side of things, and then of course there's the principle that these movements are in sync with the mind and the body as a whole. How does a 14-year-old get involved in this, and when did Dylan get involved in this?
It's funny because he probably started when he was about 5 years old. And when he started, it was just really something fun to do. He's very athletic, and you know, a lot of little boys run around sort of kicking and saying, hi-ya. And we thought, you know, put him in something that we think he'd like. And it was only about when he was around 10 years old that it became a much bigger deal for him. He really became passionate about it. And he was at one training place where it was much more recreational. And they said, you know what, he wants more, and we can't give him what he needs. And they suggested that he go somewhere where they trained, you know, instead of training an hour once a week, it became training, you know, 20 hours a week. And he moved and started competing and really, really fell in love with it. And he also, a lot of it comes down to coaching. So the first time I met his coach, one thing he said was, I'm here to help raise great athletes, but also great people and great citizens. And I love that because as much as I want him to succeed as an athlete, he's my kid first. And I wanted what was best for him as a child first and then as an athlete. So I believed in his coach and I trusted in his coach. And I just saw how, especially going into his teen years, what's amazing is having somebody else that he can look up to, aside from parents, because, you know, they become teenagers and really the parents, to them, it seems like the parents don't know that much. But him having this other adult in his life that he can look up to, that he doesn't want to disappoint, that he wants to be responsible to, that's been a great thing for him as well. So it's physically, it's helpful, but also emotionally and psychologically. I think the whole package is what I love so much about Taekwondo.
You know, Marcy, one of the things that I think occurs to us and to the common listener, if you will, of Youth Sports Now and maybe a parent or a coach is, you know, we send our kids to baseball camp and we send them to sleepover camp or hockey camp or you name it. Every sport has a camp. This one was very, very specific and very, very interesting in the sense that, you know, again, you sent him off to Korea. Why Korea, and what was different about this program than, say, anything else that would be offered anywhere near or close to you?
Well, the thing is, this is the thing. It wasn't, you know, it was a training camp. It wasn't a summer camp. So we were told by other coaches that had gone there themselves, we were warned, it's not fun. It's not a fun thing. He had fun because he met great people, but it's hard work. And the reason why Korea is because Korea is where Taekwondo started. And what we were told is that very few people who do Taekwondo actually ever get to Korea. And there's really nothing like learning from where it started. So it's different coaches that he worked with, working with the Korean athletes, seeing how they live, seeing what they believe. It just sees the sport in a very different way than he could ever somewhere closer to us. And the experience that he had, what we were told was that he probably will never have training that difficult ever again because it's that challenging. Even the conditions, I mean, there was no air conditioning, and it got, I think the coldest day there was 35 degrees. It was really, really hot, and it was really challenging, and they worked very hard. But what he took from that, that's something that will stay with him forever.
And that's something I want to ask you about, Marcy. You know, your son, Dylan, goes to Korea for a training camp in Taekwondo, and he learns from a master there. And, you know, I think this sport is you know, sometimes misunderstood because people think of it as a defensive sport. And again, in everything that we researched here at Youth Sports Now, there's so much more to it. And one of the things that really intrigues us is that, you know, the sport allows this harmonious growth and improvements, you know, about your life, and it enables one to lead a more valuable life. And, you know, I think all of us could do better by leading a more valuable life and following some main guiding principles that are out there. Tell us as a parent, but also as, you know, sort of maybe somewhat of an outsider, objective outsider, looking at your son, how has he changed from this experience?
Well, what I think is really amazing with this is that one thing, it's like you talked about it, how it builds just, it's not just a physical thing. And the thing with martial arts, one thing that surprises people too is if you would meet my son, you'd see he's extremely not aggressive. You know, this is it's a fighting sport, but he's never been in a fight ever in his life outside of, you know, the ring, and never would. And it's also amazing where you see the kids who, in tournaments, even very high-level tournaments, he's competed in Europe, and they'll fight against each other, and then they're friends afterwards. But one thing I really loved is that, you know, we'll have tournaments that will literally be 12 hours long, and we will be there for 12 hours, and sometimes he has to sit there for 9 of those hours before it's even his turn. And for kids, that's not easy. But he sits there and cheers on his teammates. What's amazing, too, is he might do that one day, and he may have teammates competing the next day. He doesn't have to go the next day. But he wants to go and sit there for another 12 hours just to cheer on and be supportive of his teammates. That's something that he didn't do before changing to a new club. That's something you learn because the camaraderie and the teamwork, even though it's an individual sport because it's just you on that mat, he still feels kind of a brothership with the people that are on his team. And I think that's something that's really going to be helpful later on. It's a respect for other people. One thing that's great, too, that people don't realize, before you start sparring, before you start fighting, you bow to your competitor. You bow to the referee. You bow to the opposing coach. When you're done, you bow again. You shake hands with the opposing coach. You shake hands with the referee. So there's so much respect built into every aspect of the sport that it's impossible for that to not carry over into other aspects of your life.
We are speaking with Marcy Nadler, whose son Dylan went off to Korea to go to a taekwondo training camp, and he got to really learn from the masters, and he got to go there to experience this, which so many people have not ever had the chance, nor will have the chance, to go to the country where you know, this sport has originated from. So it's a wonderful experience. Marcy, we got to follow Dylan's travels through your Facebook page and through your Twitter page. How tough was communication with him being in Korea and you being in Ontario, Canada?
It was tough. There's a 13-hour time difference. So we sort of had a deal where we would text once in the morning and once at night. But it would be tough because it would be, when it's morning for me, it's evening for him. And I needed to hear from him when he woke up in the morning to know he woke up okay. And I needed to hear from him at the end of the day to know he was okay at the end of the day. And it could be tough because I didn't know exactly when he was going off for breakfast or training or how late they were training. So I, to be honest, I didn't really breathe freely until I heard from him those twice a day. And I'd look at the clock throughout the day and just automatically figure out what time it was in Korea and think about what he was doing. But twice a day was when we would speak. And he would speak with, I knew he was talking also with his coach in Ontario. And they were touching base, so I felt better about that.
Well, we certainly know that that you were definitely not breathing easy through following you on Facebook and Twitter with everything that was going on, and we understand that, and we can't wait to speak with Dylan. You know, what was your reaction when he got off that plane and you saw him for the first time, and what was the first words out of his mouth aside from "Hi, Mom" and all that kind of stuff about the training?
Food. I think that was the first. That was honest. Actually, he texted me a bunch of times saying, "Please have an ice cream cake waiting for me." That was his thing. I think that the difference with the food was a bit challenging. It's going to be a long time before he has rice again. So that was a bit challenging. And he was tired. He traveled. I mean, it's a 12-hour flight, but they had to be at the airport 12 hours earlier, and it was he was tired. But I think I missed him a lot more than he missed me.
Of course, that's always the way it goes. And when we at Youth Sports Now definitely know that when we speak to the kids and the parents separately and together. And speaking of which, when we come back, we are going to be speaking with Dylan and see what it was like from his perspective, from traveling all the way to Korea to training with the best in the world and just having this wonderful experience. And we'll be back on Youth Sports Now right after this.
WYSL 92.1 FM, 1040 AM. Youth Sports Now. Get the podcast at WYSL1040.com.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance. 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
There's only one Little League where the kids of summer take over the world. The Little League Baseball World Series, televised worldwide. To be part of this, join a real Little League. Sign up today. Little League rules for a reason.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Greg Camp back here with you on Youth Sports Now and talking a little bit of a different sport, talking about taekwondo and a young man from Ontario, Canada, who at 14 years of age got to travel all the way over to Korea and train with the masters over there on taekwondo. And I'm sure he drove his mom a little nuts because he was away for so long. But joining us now is Dylan Nadler. Dylan, hey, you know, how much fun was it to be in Korea?
Oh, hey. It was good. It was different. Everything was different compared to the way it was in Canada. Like, the training was different. The environment was different. Everything was just completely opposite than it was here.
Hey, Dylan, everybody here in Rochester and the listeners of Youth Sports Now want to know, how did you convince your mom that you were going to do this trip?
Well, like ever since you started Taekwondo, right? Korea is where it originated, so you always want to get a chance to go there. And it's always in the back of your mind, like, oh, when can I go to Korea? Like, is it going to happen? Like, all that stuff. And then when the opportunity came up, it was just, like, I really wanted to go. So, and they knew I really wanted to go. So I think it was just automatic.
That, I mean, it must have been a wonderful experience. Can you tell us and tell the listeners, you know, what was, if we can call anything normal, but what was a normal day for you? You would wake up, you'd have breakfast, and then what would you do the rest of the day?
Okay, well, we'd wake up at around like 7:30, which would be like 6:30 p.m. back here. We'd wake up, eat breakfast, and then train from 10 to 12. Then we'd eat lunch, and then we'd train from 3 to 5, and then we would eat dinner, and then train from 7 to 9, and then sleep.
Wow. So you were actually doing trainings then at night. Was that, is that different from what you've done in Canada, or was that kind of standard?
Well, it was, we normally train at night here. We normally train from like 7 and on, but it was more different to train in the morning right after waking up, and you're kind of tired, right? You wake up, and then you have to just start running up the mountains and stuff. So it was more different to train in the morning for me.
Well, I tell you, you know, we followed your mom on Facebook and Twitter, and she was somewhat of a nervous wreck with you there. But one of the things that we, you know, learned from the post from your mom was about this mountain stuff and the stairs that you had to do every day. Kind of describe that, if you can, for us.
Well, what we would do is we'd wake up, and then for the morning training would be a lot of cardio. So Korea is very, like, mountainous and very hilly. So right outside of the university campus, there is a big hill and a big mountain. And we'd run up and down the mountain a few times, and then we'd come down, and then we'd run around the track, which is on the campus. And then we'd run around the track probably 10 times, and then back up the hill and back down. And then when that was done, we'd go over to the stairs. There are a couple hundred stairs in a row, like, that went straight up to where we ate. So every day we'd have to go, just to get to from training to where we ate, we'd have to go up a few hundred stairs. So what we did for the cardio part was we just run up and down the stairs probably 10 times, and then there's a Korean beside us, and then we'd have to beat them. And it was kind of hard, right, because they were older than us, so they were like 23, 24. So at first it was hard, but then every day it got kind of easier and easier until we started to beat them.
Well, that must have felt great when you did beat them.
Yeah.
You know what? What was it like over there? I mean, did the kids? I know you worked with university students first through the training, but what was it like? Could you understand them? Did they speak English, or how did you guys communicate?
Well, they could speak little English, so like they could kind of understand what we were saying. But then a couple of our coaches spoke Korean and understood Korean, so they'd be translating for us when the coaches were talking to us, telling us what to do, like how to change our techniques. Our coaches would kind of translate that to English. And the Korean students, the university guys, are pretty good at understanding what we were saying. But sometimes for them to tell us was kind of difficult.
So, you know, this whole Taekwondo has been, you know, developing for about 5,000 years, you know, they've been working on this. And what was it like, and tell our listeners, what did you, you know, use in terms of, you know, you had to wear protective gear, I'm assuming, what's the whole format of when you're actually going through, and help me out here, is it called a match, or what's it called?
Yeah, it's a 7x7 meter ring, I guess, so
okay.
It's just mats, like, kind of spongy mats, I guess. Just like blue and red on the ground. No, there's nothing around it. Like, there's no ropes or anything like that, or a cage, nothing like that.
And then you're wearing protective gear, right? So you won't get hurt in, you know,
yeah,
with
so
the head or anything?
You're wearing like arm guards, shin guards, groin cup, and headgear and mouth guard.
And when you were competing, if you will, were you competing with kids your age, or were you competing with these university students?
Well, it wasn't a competition. We were there, it was just for training.
Okay.
And we were training with the university students, so 23, 24, 25 years old. We were training with them, inspiring with them, everything. Yeah, so there's no one our age, really.
How good were they?
No, they were really good. They were really good. We were getting beat up a lot, but then every day we'd kind of get beat up less and less until one day we'd just start being at their level and scoring them, like getting some points on them and beating them.
You know, Dylan, people talk about, you know, Taekwondo as being, you know, it's a defensive sport, or obviously it's a fighting sport. But so many people also talk about the fact that it's, you know, it's something that is good for your mind and your body and your soul. And it teaches you how to, you know, I guess, control yourself. And that's my question. You know, when someone's coming at you and, you know, they're on the attack, if you will, you've got to remain calm and keep your you know, wherewithal with you. How did you do that, and how did you control from just being really upset or mad if someone was coming at you?
Well, you kind of know, like, so being in Taekwondo, you've been in a bunch of fights before, like, in the ring, not outside the ring. But, so you know, you've been hit before, right? So if you ever come to a situation where you know, like, something's going to happen or, like, you might get hit, it's not a big deal because you know you've got hit before. So you know that whatever's coming, like, you've been through it before, it's not going to be that bad. But then controlling yourself when you're mad or something, it just kind of comes, like, when you've been doing a martial art for so long, you just get, like, you have so much respect for everything. So it's easier to control yourself because you just know that, like, if you wanted to, you could probably hurt someone pretty bad. So, there's really no need to do that unless you actually have to. But it's pretty easy to control yourself because you have to do it all the time when you're in the ring, like, to know when you're going to do a technique, when you're not. It's a lot of control, and a lot of control at home, too, I guess.
So what do you do next? I mean, you know, at 14 years of age, you've kind of been, no, I'm not trying to make a joke, but you've been to the top of the mountain, literally in Korea. And, you know, for other 14-year-old kids, you know, who are friends of yours or in Canada, in the United States, you know, they dream of playing in a Super Bowl, or they dream of playing in the Stanley Cup Finals, or sinking the final putt at a major golf tournament. You've done this at 14. What do you do now?
Well, on November 31st, the Youth Olympic Game qualifying tournament will take place. So by winning that tournament, that puts me on the Canadian national team to go out to the Youth Olympic Games in China next year.
Wow. So you could be the world traveler here with Taekwondo.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, Dylan, we appreciate you you taking the time to be with us and for allowing us to interview you. And we're going to be putting up some pictures that your mom sent. We're going to put those up on the Youth Sports Now radio website. And we, as I said, we followed your mom through social media. So make sure you definitely give her a big hug and say thanks, because she was kind of a little bit nervous while you were gone. So
yeah, I know.
So thanks a lot. We appreciate it. And we hope that, you know, you can be back on the show sometime, especially if you do this stuff with the Olympics and everything. We want to hear more about what you're doing and more about your travel. So promise you'll come back.
Yeah, I will. Definitely.
Okay, great. We are Dylan Naylor from Canada, from Ontario, Canada, who got to go to Korea to work with the Masters in Taekwondo, and just a wonderful opportunity at 14 years of age. Hey, when we come back, Mike Naparella's with us and the regular Peak Performance Physical Therapy segment, and Mike's going to be talking about wrapping up the PGA Golf Tournament stuff, as well as talking and answering your listener questions.
He's Craig Camp, and this is Youth Sports Now on WISL 92.1 FM, 1040 AM. Get the podcast or the live stream at WISL1040.com.
There's only one little league where 500,000 girls can play their hearts out and be seen by the world. Little League Softball, televised nationwide in 4 divisions. Join a real Little League. Sign up today. Little League rules for a reason.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Proudly conservative.
WYSL.
Rochester's home for America's morning show with Quinn and Rose. 92.1 FM and 1040 AM. WYSL, Avon, Rochester. Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete. Presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
And we are back with Youth Sports Now. And, of course, it is the regular segment every single week on Youth Sports Now, the Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training segment. And, of course, we have our own, we call him our own, Mike Naparella, but he's really from Peak Performance Physical Therapy, but he's part of the team here at Youth Sports Now. Hey, Mike, you know, we've been, you know, wrapping up a little bit of the PGA stuff that's been in Rochester with the championship that was concluded a few weeks ago. And we just want to wrap things up on our end, too, with some of the questions that we had regarding the PGA in connection to golf and in connection to biomechanics, functionality, and everything that you do at Peak Performance Physical Therapy. So, you know, we've got this nice summer weather suddenly back here in Rochester. And, of course, it's prime golf season because we don't get to golf all year round like many people do. So we've been talking about it. And of course, Mike, the video blog post that you have up on peakptrochester.com and of course on the radio show site, which is youthsportsnowradio.com. You know, you've been talking a little bit about the body part that a golfer might be surprised to find can affect their swing. Let's talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting topic because I think, you know, so often we think a golfer's swing is so dependent upon what we call the big rocks, the places that you can really see the trunk rotating, the hip rotating, but actually a really neat place that from a biomechanical function perspective we look at all the time when we've got a golfer either as a training client or a patient is actually their neck. So if you, Greg, as we're sitting here talking and all the listeners who are out there, if you would turn your head as far as you can to the left so that your left chin approaches your left shoulder, we would normally call that left cervical rotation. Now, as a golfer, remember, the golfer is going to keep their stance over the ball at address, and they're going to try and keep their head, relatively speaking, over the ball. As you take your arms, for a right-handed golfer, as you take your arms to the right into trunk right rotation and bring the club up into the takeaway position at the top of the swing, if everyone out there kind of would turn that way to the right and keep their head still as if they're looking at a ball, you'll notice that your chin is back on your left shoulder again. And we call that in function bottom-up motion. So it's still cervical left rotation, but it wasn't done in that characteristic way that we look at as what we'd call top-down, head on shoulders, but instead it was the shoulders moving under the head that's fixed. It still requires left cervical rotation. So sometimes we'll find golfers, Greg, who they lack that cervical rotation, and they're having trouble in their takeaway. Their elbows may start bending, they're cocking their wrists excessively, they're doing excessive motion and sway from their body, and it may actually be coming from the fact that their neck is lacking rotation. And of course, the opposite of that is true on the follow-through. You know, you're going to follow through and try to keep your head on the ball for at least a bit and not look too early at your shot. the right shoulder will be approaching the chin, and that's cervical right rotation. So there's other motions that can be an issue, but cervical rotation is one of those that absolutely can affect a golfer's swing. It can affect their hips, it can affect their trunk, and affect the hands and the elbow just from things that aren't right at the neck. And so that's a key place biomechanically that we want to look at in the golfer swing.
And of course, you know, everybody over at Peak Performance, you guys may be able to hopefully solve the problems of many golfers here in the Rochester area. So it would be interesting to see how many people really have these problems from a biomechanics standpoint. I know it would hopefully help their game and of course their body. And Mike, from one swing to another, you know, you guys at Peak Performance and some of your staff, you went out to the Bilbo baseball camp a couple of times to work with the young campers there. And I was actually fortunate enough to see this and to partake in some of the drills that they did. Tell us about that. And then I actually want to give you some of my responses and reactions that we got from some of the parents.
Great. We'd love to hear that. I just really want to thank you and Bill Bow for the opportunity to come out there. One of our staff members, Mike Galassano, who's one of the excellent physical therapists that we've got, who's been trained extensively in functional mechanics and gone through the fellowship program that I went through. Mike went out there several times. It was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago at the Bill Bow camp out in Penfield, and worked with the young campers that were there on what we would call a functional dynamic warm-up. And we really think that's critical. You know, we've talked about this before as one of our topics, Greg, where young athletes are wondering, parents are wondering, should you stretch before you play? They've heard you should stretch, you shouldn't stretch. And we've talked a bit about the importance of flexibility. But one of the things that we really wanted to emphasize is that athletically, really the best thing to do before you go begin the actual practice, begin the actual game, is what we'd call a dynamic warm-up. Getting the body to move through what we call functional movement patterns so you can warm up the muscles and tendons and joints, but also really especially the nervous system and the metabolism so that body is kind of pepped up and ready to go. We don't want to have an athlete sitting down in a kind of a quiet, calm, soothing position or posture, stretching a muscle in a slow manner, and then all of a sudden they get up and have to go swing at a baseball that's pitched at him at 70 or 80 or 90 miles an hour, sprint to the base, or a fielder react to a funny hop off of the grass on an infield grounder and have to deal with quick, sudden reactions. And we can think of any sport you want. It becomes the same issue as that having the nervous system and what we'd call actually the neuromusculoskeletal system, the whole package, really warmed up properly in all three planes of motion at all the major joints, so that athlete's body has been really prepared to go out and play versus just some of the simple, common patterns of movement that some kids will do, can really be helpful. So Mike went out twice. He worked with the young kids. I think it was maybe 40 or 50 kids that he demonstrated this to, and some of the coaches were able to see it as well. And hopefully it's something we'll be able to do more of in the future and even share with other groups and organizations. There's a lot of awesome ways that young athletes can learn skill and technique and even fixes for those problems that we've talked about by learning to move their body properly versus just trying to skill something. They actually can physically train to prepare even in their warm-up. So it was a great opportunity. We really appreciate it.
And, you know, the response, Mike, from the kids and the parents was very good. A couple of parents stopped in and said that they had never seen anything like it. And we explained that it was, you know, something that really should take place on not only baseball fields, but on courts and ice and all over the place to get the kids ready. And the kids loved it. In fact, Mike, I think, kind of became an honorary coach at the camp with the kids following through. In fact, he had the second time he was there, he had three or four players who were at the first session that he did. And he called them up and they actually helped him through these drills. And it is something that the coaches need to see. And, you know, we're definitely going to have you and Mike come on out and do this for a coach's session as well, because any youth coach can learn something from the way you guys teach these things. So I think it was a great opportunity.
I think, you know, the neat thing too, Greg, in the way that you're talking about the response the kids and some of the parents had is, when you do things that are truly functional, there's a lot of things out there right now that are being called functional. People balancing on a wobble board and doing squats or standing on a big round stability ball and doing exercises. And those are really unique challenges. But our body gets in those positions and really is an athlete because it's not really the true environment that we function in. I think very often the athlete will kind of unconsciously be saying, hey, that's really difficult, that's a neat challenge, but it really doesn't feel authentic. I think the neat thing is that when you do things that feel and smell and look like the sport that you're doing, the athlete knows it. You can't fool them. They know it. And I think that's why you probably saw the response you did from those kids and those parents, because you can really see the quick tie-in of that warm-up that Mike showed them and exactly how it's going to apply to a thrower, to a fielder, to a batter. And it feels like the right kind of preparation. So I'm glad they gave you that sort of feedback.
And, you know, Mike, we'll perfect transition again. I wish I could say that I set you up for these transitions, but I honestly didn't. You know, we talk about the parents and seeing these stretching maneuvers and getting ready for a game the way you do it over at Peak Performance. Some listener questions. You know, this is a question from a mom or dad who's a little bit concerned because their son is actually off to college with a lacrosse scholarship, and they're concerned about nutrition and over-practicing. And they've talked to the coach, but they're still worried parents. What can we tell them to maybe set their mind at ease a little bit?
Well, you know, Greg, I think that there's probably a lot more parents than maybe admit who are in that situation where when they were back in the high school days, they were pretty closely tied into the school, the high school, and sort of knew what the coaches were doing and could be in the vicinity or hear more closely what was going on. And when you send your young son or daughter off to college and there's a lot more freedom and there's a lot more sort of anonymity in terms of what goes on, it can be a little disconcerting, but I guess I would just try to encourage them by reminding them that the NCAA has rules about how often you can practice and how many hours you can practice, and I would certainly hope that most programs are abiding by those and trying to remain within the legalities and the guidelines. And more now, as things like this question that the listener brought up, sports nutrition and proper ways of training, and we talk about in our realm training through three dimensions of movement and all these different things that are being researched and looked at and thought about maybe more deeply than ever. I think more and more, whether it's from a junior college level to a D3, even all the way up, of course, to a D1 level, that the strength conditioning coaches and even the sport coaches are more and more aware of these things. And when I talk to athletes more and more now, they're being given nutrition packages as part of their preseason training. And while a coach may not be sitting over a kid's shoulder in the cafeteria or at the line, making the choice for him or her as to what to put on his tray and plate, I think that the kids are being educated more and more about it, not only in the high school level, but certainly at college. And I understand their worry, but I think a lot of that not only comes in having a sense of confidence that the schools are more well-trained and educated to offer the right choices to the kids, to the young college athletes, but also to know that, you know, you haven't stopped being a parent yet. Go ahead and give the coaches a call and maybe talk with them even again with some specific questions that you have, or maybe talk with the young athlete about, can you give me some examples about what they're teaching you about nutrition or maybe different choices that you've made, so that may allay some of the fears they've got.
Great answer, Mike, and good advice. That we, you know, ultimately we never stop being parents, regardless of how young or old our children are. And in that vein, you are setting me up perfectly tonight. I appreciate it. Another listener question. This is from a parent who has a young daughter who's only age 5. And the young daughter really wants to start gymnastics. And the question is that too early? And they're very concerned about injury at that early of an age. What do you think?
Well, gymnastics is actually one of those sports where we do tend to see kids starting at pretty early ages, maybe even more than some other organized sports. And I guess I'm not tied in closely with the gymnastic coaching process and development programs, but do know that, you know, these coaches, certainly this is not a new thing to have a young athlete at very young ages starting in gymnastics, and so those coaches are I think generally well versed in understanding the developmental differences of kids at those ages, and knowing, as we've said, Greg, through many different segments and topics through the course of the Youth Sports Now show, that as parents and coaches and even as athletes, we can't take a 5-year-old and treat them like a 12-year-old, and we can't take a 12-year-old and treat them like an 18-year-old, or give them the programs that the older kids do. And I know that in dealing with coaches of various sports that have come through the clinic and in all types of different athletes, that I think coaches generally tend to be, and this is not true across the board, but I think coaches generally tend to be aware of those things and certainly being pretty intentional about developmental processes and staging so that a young 5-year-old starting gymnastics is doing that in an appropriate way with very simple skills and low physical demand and high fun. I think that's one of the big things about a young kid starting a sport. It's really critical that coaches keep the fun element high so that they're enjoying it and they don't rob them of the that spirit of enjoyment that they had about the sport by making it too serious too early. And I think a lot of those concerns that a parent has, you know, those absolutely, as we just said in this other answer, bring those up to the gymnastics instructors or whatever sport it is, and be frank with them about, you know, I have a concern about that. Can you talk to me about how you intentionally work to avoid overstressing them physically, or how do you treat a 5-year-old gymnast differently than you might an 8 or a 10-year-old? Is that very intentional? And I think through those you know, open communications, maybe a lot of those fears can be squashed a bit so that they don't have those concerns. Or if the answers aren't acceptable, then maybe you need to go look at a different studio or facility or coaching program that takes into account very intentionally the developmental differences of younger athletes like that.
Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. Mike, we're glad to have you on the team here at Youth Sports Now. Once again, some fantastic information and probably, you know, one of the wisest things out of the many wise things that you have told us over the past few months is that you never stop being parents, and you've got to remember that. So thank you, Mike. And, you know, next week we'll have some more topics and hopefully some more listener questions. And they can send us those questions at youthsportsnowradio@rochester.rr.com. We'll be back with some final thoughts right after this.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance. Performance 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
sports performance training has evolved. Many athletes have taken advantage of sports vision training with Dr. Fred Edmonds and haven't looked back. Seeing a need for athletes to incorporate visual performance enhancement into their training, Dr. Fred established the Extreme Sight Performance Clinic to offer specialized sports vision care. Athletes are invited to test their visual strengths and weaknesses with a visit to the Extreme Sight Performance Clinic at the Sports Center on MCC campus. They will participate in a battery of standardized visual skills tests. Based on this unique and comprehensive visual performance evaluation, Dr. Fred develops an enhancement training program tailored to each individual athlete. For more information about the Extreme Sight Performance Clinic, visit ExtremeSight.com or call 585-880-4818 today. Extreme Sight, a proud supporter of Youth Sports Now Radio.
Want to give your little league or high school baseball or softball player a major league swing? Elite Performance Baseball and Softball Training Center is giving you a free video analysis of your player's swing. This is the same video analysis used by major league hitters, and Elite Performance's professional coaching staff with over 30 years of experience can show your ball player how to improve their swing. But you have to act now. Elite Performance is only accepting the first 20 people to respond to this free video analysis offer through Youth Sports Now. Take advantage of this one-time opportunity and call 749-4623 right now to schedule your player's free video analysis. That number again, 749-4623. Discover how a free video analysis can help. Call Elite Performance Baseball and Softball Training Center at 749-4623 right now. Learn from the pros to swing like a pro.
Little League is committed to the safety of its players, so background checks are mandatory for all volunteers, and that's why every local league gets 125 free national criminal background checks. Little League rules for a reason. For more info, go to littleleague.org.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Hey, we're wrapping things up for this edition of Youth Sports Now. I am Greg Camp, and it's been a pleasure to, as always, to be with you for this radio show, trying to give you the perspectives that you as a coach, a parent, or a youth sports administrator may need or could need or even in some cases should need when it comes to working with the youth. You know, during this segment, we give you a few updates, and we also will get into some of my final thoughts for the day. And a couple of things that we want to, you know, talk about real quickly here is, you know, if you didn't hear the interview with Marcy and Dylan Nadler from Ontario, Canada, Marcy is the mom and Dylan is the son. Dylan was fortunate enough to go to Korea at age 14 and work with the masters at a taekwondo training camp, which was really interesting for us to hear about and for our listeners. And, you know, we've always tried on Youth Sports Now to bring you the information of not only just the everyday sports, but some of the sports that that are a little bit out there and a little bit different. So we're going to be bringing you some other interviews with the kids and the parents who are involved in those sports in the coming weeks. So a great opportunity there. And of course, if you have an idea for a sports interview or a profile on a sport that maybe your son, daughter, or you are involved with, you know, please send us a note. You can reach us through our website, which is youthsportsnowradio.com. Or you can also get us on our email, which is youthsportsnowradio@rochester.rr.com. And we look for some of your, you know, advice and input on that, as well as ask Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy any questions that you may have. You know, I talk a lot about Little League and the Little League World Series. It's going on now in Williamsport. If you're in the Rochester area, you've got a short 2.5 hour, maybe 3 hour drive to the World Series, and we're getting down to it. This is the time that we're going to be getting to the finals of both the U.S. and the international divisions, and the pool play starting to end, and we get down to single elimination. So the finals for the Little League World Series will be Sunday, and I tell you what, it's one thing to watch it on TV. It's even another thing to be there. So if you can get down to Williamsport, expect the big crowds, but it's a great family event. It's a great family day. And I'm telling you that, you know, their tickets are not required. It's a free event, and you can feed your whole family for about $20. So it's a great thing to do if you're looking for something to do on a Sunday. We've been talking over in the past few weeks with some of the interviews that we've done. And a couple of updates real quick. Dr. Robert Cantu, who is the lead consultant to the NFL, if you remember way back at the beginning of U Sports Now, I believe in February, we talked to Dr. Cantu, who, again, is the concussion specialist for the NFL. They have come out with some new information that is not in his new book, but we will be trying to have another interview with Dr. Cantu in the coming weeks as we get into the NFL and the football season. As we found out last week, you know, many of these kids are getting into the two-a-day practices and trainings for high school as Section 5 football is going to be starting in a few short weeks. We obviously don't want to scare the kids out there, but guess what? You've got to go back to school very soon. And you're lucky because in many places around the country, school has already started. You've also got the Red Wings, which are in tied for first place, I believe, right now at the time of my speaking to you. And that's a great opportunity for the kids to get out there and observe good baseball and to learn as much as they possibly can from the pros. So we encourage you to get out there and make sure that you're watching these sports and talking to your kids. And remember one thing, we always want to make sure that you are cheering for the effort and that you're not cheering for the result. It's really important in youth sports to remember that, and we hope that you do. Some final views for today's episode. You know, since the beginning of Youth Sports Now, you've heard me rant, you've heard me rave about youth sports, you know, problems and coaches who are overly eager to live out their sports dreams versus the kids. You've heard me chastise the parents who are convinced that their kids are the next Derek Jeter, Peyton Manning, or Tiger Woods. And you've heard me plead with youth sports administrators to put the fun back in youth sports for our children. But today, I thought that I would take a few liberties. And, you know, as I can, because I have a radio show, I figured I'm going to take some time to say thanks. Thanks to the parents, the coaches, and the youth sports administrators who assisted me. My position, my passion, is youth sports. I love to coach, and I love player development. These are passions that came to me at a very early age, probably and most definitely instilled in me by my parents. And all the driving that they did to practices and to games, I don't think I ever said thanks. So to my mom and dad, I say thanks. And I encourage you out there who play youth sports, say thanks to your parents and grandparents for bringing you in to the games and practices and for watching and attending them. Trust me, they're not always as easy to watch as you may think. I began coaching at age 14, and I haven't stopped since. Aside from the ethics that my parents instilled in me, I learned from my coaches, a guy named Joe Riley, a high school coach named Tim Jordan, and the coach who I learned the most from and who has the most influence on me, a guy named Steve Eckert. People coach youth sports for many, many reasons. Not all are pure, and I'm not saying that mine are purer, if you will, than others. But for me, my coaching style is a combination of my coaches on the field and my coaches in life. The highest compliment I can ever receive is when a kid, a parent, or even better, a former player calls me coach. Next to dad, it's the most important job that I have. And that's my view from the dugout.
This has been Youth Sports Now, Rochester's only radio show dedicated to the youth athlete, has been brought to you by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance, and by McQuaid Jesuit High School, Extreme Sight Performance Clinic, and by TJT Sports Photography. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or our website at www.youthsportsnowradio.com.